hopefully. And it is sheep, wolves, serpents, and doves. Matthew 10. Let's take our Bibles and look in Matthew chapter 10. I want you to look at verse 16. Matthew 10, verse 16. Sunday mornings, we are going through a series on the home and looking right now at discernment. And this is the kind of thinking that's going through my heart this week, actually, as I am preparing and looking at this principle of discernment. But came across this verse and I thought, well, I would jot some notes down and share these with you, and have some insight from you as far as how this applies in the area of discernment. I'm just going to read it. It says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Sheep, wolves, serpents, doves. You know, in the context here, I was actually looking at Ezekiel 44, verse 23, and looking at the job of the priest, the job of the priest of Israel. And what were they to teach, the priests and the high priest? Well, Ezekiel 44, 23 says, "They shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." Isn't that interesting? My job is to teach God's people the difference between holy and profane, and to teach our people how to discern between unclean and clean. So then I came across this passage in Matthew 10, and Jesus is talking to his disciples. He said, "Guys, you're sheep, and I'm sending you as sheep, and surrounding you are wolves. So here's what I want you to be. Wise and harmless. Be like serpents and be like doves." Interesting. Now, they knew the context of this. You know, they traveled. They traveled in areas where there were lots of sheep and lots of wolves. Sheaves, that's sheep and wolves combined. There were lots of sheep, and I imagine there were lots of wolves around. So he says, "Because you are sheep in the midst of wolves, be like serpents." So I imagine walking along the way, sometimes somebody would say, "Stop! Adder! There's an adder." Adder is a little poisonous snake that hides sometimes as they're going in the desert under the sand. And all, if you were to look closely, all you could see were the two eyes. And you step on it, and it were to strike you and bite you, they would inject poison, and that poison would go right to your nervous system, and within a minute, maybe two, your heart's paralyzed and you're dead. And so they were very, very much aware of serpents, but he uses them, serpents, as an illustration. I want you to be as wise as those serpents. And then I imagine they saw doves flying. I know King Solomon talks about doves. He talks about them flying. We're going to look at some of these. But first of all, let's look at these four animals. He says, "I send you forth as sheep." What I'm going to do, I'm going to present to you a little bit about the sheep. And I want you to tell me how that looks. What that looks like as far as a Christian. How am I to live like this? Well, sheep are defenseless, innocent, and vulnerable. Defenseless, innocent, and vulnerable. Sheep are also dependent and helpless, and may I say, somewhat stupid. They just follow other sheep. I think maybe they might be the most thoughtless and seemingly senseless of all domesticated animals. And they often panic at the least sign of danger. But their greatest enemies are the predators. Wolves and lions and bears, especially the wolves. And the wolves would come into a flock of sheep if the shepherd was gone. The shepherd was lazy, neglectful. And the wolves would come in and kill dozens of sheep at a time and just leave them laying. And maybe just eat one part of one leg and kill the rest. So, Jesus says we are sheep. We are to be sent forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. What does that look like for the Christian life? You can say it and I'll just repeat it. So Adam doesn't have to come running up and down. So, yes, Sue? All right, we're in the world, not of the world. All right. Very good.
Putting ourselves out as vulnerable.
Vulnerable. We are vulnerable. Yeah, for sure. What else? Are we to arm ourselves out there? Well, maybe. I mean, Jesus sent his disciples out with a sword. Okay, but we weren't going to go into the lions, into the lion's den and the wolf's den and sling the sword. Sheep weren't to do that. Give me some more comparisons to the Christian. Or to someone else. Yes. Sue again. We're dependent upon the shepherd. Anything else? How are you like a sheep? You said stupid and dumb. Is that what you said? Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? We're vulnerable. We're weak, right? We're not very camouflaged. Yeah, that's a good insight. What do we need to rely on as sheep?
Shepherd.
Yeah. What about the shepherd do we rely on? Say that.
He leads us.
What else?
He protects us.
Julia?
Feeds us.
He feeds us. What else? Debbie?
He heals us.
Puts ointment on us. Kills the botflies. What's that? He directs us. What else?
Pins us in.
Corrals us. So we don't go off wandering. How's that look for me? I mean, what do you mean pins me in? Julia, how would you answer that?
The Holy Spirit within inside of us keeps drawing me back. I'm so grateful.
Okay. All right. Holy Spirit. Sue? Fellowship, other sheep. Yeah, we've done a study before. I mean, at least in the last decade on sheepology. What happens to a sheep that doesn't follow? Yeah, sometimes the shepherd will have to break its leg, pick it up, put it over its shoulder, put it in. I mean, put it back in the corral, put it back with the sheep. If it doesn't learn to follow, put it down. Some good lessons there. Sue?
Sheep don't learn well.
Sheep don't learn well. Isn't that true? Well, we are sheep. We're weak in ourselves. We rely totally on the strength of the shepherd. The shepherd is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. facing the horrific, the dreadful power of snarling, devouring wolves. We face them. And balanced by the loving, caring, protective strength of the shepherd.
Can sheep defend themselves against a wolf or no?
Can sheep defend themselves against the wolf?
Ever.
Ever. I think they can run. They scatter. Sheep scatter, but you know, not fast enough. I mean, you've seen sheep up in their hind legs going like this, boom, 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 right? No, sheep don't, they're pretty defenseless. And they do rely on, they have to rely on the strength of the shepherd. Yes?
Well, and also, by keeping the herd together.
Yeah?
They are, that is their defense, because wolves depend on the pack mentality. They hamstring and then go for the throat. I mean, that's the
okay
procedure. So they have to have them
okay
away from the other.
Yeah. Julia?
And when you had said that they would be scared easily, I can so see that.
Yeah.
You know, anything that comes against us,
yeah,
we quickly go, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
And we decide not to speak up.
Well, let's talk about the wolves now. Jesus said, we are sent forth as sheep surrounded by wolves. What's the wolves? What's the wolf and what are wolves like? Well, wolves are ever ready to make a prey on the sheep. They're ever ready to attack. They can kill a sheep within a minute. I had a dog that we thought was a Mexican wolf. We lived out in the country, and his name was Shelby. Shelby started coming home with a sheep leg and just chewing on it out. We had a acre out in the back. We thought, oh, what's this? And finally got a call. It seems like Shelby, for sport, was going to this man's sheep and killing a number of sheep. Just left them dead. Well, we had to pay for it. My dad was mad enough to kill our dog. Well, we dealt with that, and then Shelby got loose again and went to the neighbor's chicken coop and killed all their chickens, all of them. Well, we got the phone call there as well. Needless to say, the neighbors did not appreciate Shelby. Okay? But these kind of wolves are actually more vicious. They, you know, there's wolves. I was speaking actually in a church in Montana, and the hunters would say that the elk have quit bugling, because if they bugle, that calls these wolves, and they were mad at the government because the government was wanting to protect the wolves, and they were multiplying. And wolves will kill an elk within a short time just for the sport of it. They'll surround it and kill an elk, a huge elk, just for the sport of it. Well, you see, I think Jesus knew this about wolves, and I think the disciples did. And Jesus says he sends us, or his disciples, out as sheep in the midst of wolves. I'm sending you Christians into the territory of wolves. Talk to me. How does that look for a Christian? Sue?
One way is the fellowship.
They can come into a fellowship in a church. Absolutely. But they're dressed like sheep. Figure that one out. What else? What else do you think about the wolves now? How does that play out? What does that look like for us as followers of Christ? Someone else. Yeah, Betty? Yeah, we are sent out to witness. Our job is to turn a wolf into a sheep. And so we can't do it on our own, can we? That's got to be the Holy Spirit that does that. Because wolves can... they can kill you. How, what else does this look like as far as the Christian life? Someone else.
My immediate thought is it's scary.
Scary.
Yeah, I mean, I had an encounter with a coyote, and that was scary enough. I mean, they got teeth, and they're vicious.
Yeah, an encounter with a coyote is scary. Wolves, I think, can tear a coyote to pieces. I was looking at wolves today. I was looking at pictures of wolves. There was a guy, and I don't know if this is photoshopped or not. Okay, I'm just saying. And the wolf, there are wolves that will weigh, they normally weigh, what, a grown wolf, 70 to pounds to 110, 115 pounds. In some parts of the country, they'll be over 200 pounds. They're normally about, I think he said 32 to 34 inches high. Okay. And he said in some parts of the country, there are wolves that will weigh 220, 230 pounds, and showed me a wolf. A guy had killed a wolf, was holding it around the belly, was it standing up, and it was taller than he was. It was huge. Again, I don't know if that was photoshopped or not. I don't think it was. But I've seen pictures of these huge wolves that make our dogs look like rats. I mean, huge wolves. I don't think in this part of the country where Jesus was, they were that big. I think they were very vicious. Very vicious and wild. And, you know, the wolves will attack humans. They'll attack animals just at will. It's a sport just to kill them. Okay? These are wild wolves. So you think about this. Jesus sent us among wolves. He sent us out there to live with the wolves. Well, interesting that Paul considers believers, Christians, as sheep to be slaughtered. Romans 8:36. As it is written, he quotes from the Old Testament, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. So, here's a point. It's expected or consistent with the nature, with their nature, for wolves to come into a flock of sheep to devour and kill. Okay. Last Sunday morning in Cameroon. Right, not far from Bamenda. That's where the Needhams used to be. Now Needhams have gone more into the French-speaking area. A Bible translator in Cameroon was butchered to death this last Sunday morning, and not far out of Bamenda. It was an overnight attack while his wife's arm was cut off. He was drug out and chopped to pieces by the Fulani villagers. I mean, I know Fulanis there. The experience we've had with Fulanis, Karen and I have been in our homes, and but you know, you let one of their children come to know Christ, they will beat that child almost to death. They'll disown him. Anyway, this Bible translator is Wycliffe Bible translators, actually. He was a Cameroonian, butchered to death. The wolves came in and devoured him. Next one. It's not expected or it's not consistent with their nature for sheep to come into a wolf's den. Does that make sense? So Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. He knows his sheep, but It's never expected for a shepherd to send his sheep into the wolf's den. Yeah, now talk to me about that. How's that look in the Christian life? Jackie, what are you thinking?
Well, what's coming to mind is that I didn't see him knowing that we were vulnerable.
You say that again?
Knowing that we are very vulnerable, he would not put us in that situation.
Yeah.
Defend us.
Knowing that we are very vulnerable, he wouldn't send us into a situation to defend ourselves. Sharon?
Well, I think without defense.
Yes, without defense.
And he is our defense.
Yeah. He's not going to tell us to go hang out in the bar or at a place of ill repute. He sends us into a society that's full of wolves, but he's not going to send us directly to a place that will destroy us. The den, yeah. Yeah. Sue? Yes. Yeah, all together. I've gone into some dens before on purpose, foolishly, but I did. Yes.
If the song goes, "Where he leads, I will follow."
Yes.
In other words, if the Holy Spirit is leading us, mm-hmm. then he's going to protect us
in
the environment, whatever it might be. If we go in the flesh.
Absolutely. We definitely have to have our armor on. He gives us armor. Well, you better go in. If you're going to go among these wolves, you better have your armor on. You better have the Word of God, the shield, the spoken Word of God. You better know it. And you go through the different parts of the armor. John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." The wolves put our shepherd on the cross. He gave his life. They didn't kill him. He gave his life for the sheep. John 10:14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep." I know them and am known of mine. So he sends his sheep into an area full of wolves. He sends us into a world that's hostile against him. Right? I mean, you watch the news any given day of the week. You read the news. You're going to find that we have a world that's hostile. I don't want to get into political stuff, but I will. I'm amazed at the politicians right now that are touting the fact that they're socialists. And a good percentage of the leaders in the Democratic Party proclaim themselves to be friendly towards socialism. And socialism, the history of socialism, all the way back to Karl Marx and back, will come in and shut down the churches and persecute the Christians. That's socialism. So he sends his sheep into an area full of wolves. He sends us into a world that's hostile. By the way, if our country turns into a socialistic country, we still are to be sent out as sheep among wolves. We're still to be a shining light. We're still to have the armor of God on. And I believe, personally believe, a Christian is immortal. Or immortal until God says, "Come home." Right? Let me move on. One writer said the apostles and the various extents every believer after them would be sent out defenseless in themselves among evil, rapacious, vicious, God-hating mankind. Now let's talk about our shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He sends the sheep into the world, and he is present with them at all times. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's not a lazy shepherd. He's not off somewhere. He's not giving us to another shepherd. His goal as a true shepherd is to is to turn wolves into sheep. And he does it. Look at us. So how do we enter the area, the wolves area? What's our attitude? What's our mindset? Yes.
All I can think of is
discernment. Big time. Yes.
I have a question.
Okay.
Would a wolf den be considered at your workplace? Your location where you have hostile, you know.
A wolf's den?
Yeah.
Could a person's workplace be considered as a wolf's den? So if Jesus is sending us among wolves, you know, maybe that might, I mean, need to change, clarify what I'm saying, because it could be a wolf den, but he's right there with you. The shepherd's right there with you. Yeah. What's that? Your family.
Yeah. You're the only one that saved. And
yeah. Exactly. So you got your armor on. You've got your shepherd with you. He will never leave you. The problem is when we get out trying to do things on our own. All right, let's move on. We're running out of time. Okay. He says, be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Well, let me talk a little bit more about wolves. Wolfology. They're relentless. They can cover great distances in one day. 30 to 125, 125 miles in one day. They leave nothing alive when they attack. They can jump 6 to 8 feet from a standing position. And they're social creatures. They run in packs. Once in a while, they'll have a lobo, which is a lone wolf, more cunning than those that run in the pack. They're constantly testing their leadership. They're killing machines. They're thoroughly efficient, proficient, skilled, and capable. And they very seldom attack from the front. They attack from the rear or from the sides of their prey. Cunning, strong body, strong teeth, swift, strong, fast runners. A lot faster than you are, for sure me. They're fast. Yes.
What's the vision of a sheep? Do we know?
What's their vision of a sheep? I don't know. Why don't you find out? Let us know. I mean, do they have peripheral? Okay. Aren't they kind of blind? Or are they? I don't know. Straight ahead, okay. Well, let's... Sheep are nocturnal?
No.
Wolves are, yeah. I think they're nocturnal. They do. You hear them. Let's go to serpents. He says, be therefore wise as serpents. So that's Jesus' first bit of advice to sheep. That's the first thing he says to them. Be wise like serpents. Yikes. So what's he talking about? Well, let me give you some information I borrowed. I can give you the website. It's in use of their ears. A serpent is deaf to sound carried by air. They don't, so to me as a Christian, I don't pay attention to gossip and I don't pay attention to threats of the tongue. Okay? I'm deaf to sound. By air. A serpent readily perceives and heeds sounds, vibrations in the ground. And so he knows this is not a second-hand report. He's concerned about what the foot does, not what the mouth says. That'll preach. Now, about his eyes. A serpent's eyes are always open, even when he's asleep. And it's always open to a sudden movement or flash. A sudden movement or a flash will awaken him. So he does not sleep as one that's drunk or stupefied, his eyes. Now, his use of his tongue. His tongue is not his instrument of attack. It's not an offensive weapon. So he doesn't pass on information. Are you with me, Christian? It's his instrument by which he detects smells. So he picks up smells or objects with his tongue. He'll put them in the cavity of his mouth. And so then that sends it to his brain to interpret it. Now, serpent, in giving location, a serpent, a snake is not boastful of his person or location. His principal method of averting danger is to hide. Our life is hid with Christ. Now, how about the serpent's use of time? They do not jump at every object they see. They don't strike at every object. What do they do? Yeah.
They wait patiently.
Yes, they wait for the enemy to enter within their range. Now, in use of the unseen aid, a snake takes temperature of surroundings through a pit in his head. He can feel the heat of warm-blooded animals before he sees them. All right, what does that look like in a Christian life? I pay attention to that unseen help. Hello? That's the Holy Spirit who knows and alerts the Christian before the Christian enters a situation. All right, any insights? You're looking at that list of this in a Christian's life. I'm to be as wise as a serpent.
Always observant.
What else? What's that? Of his surroundings. How else am I wise as a serpent? Yes?
He waits,
yeah, until it's within his range. What else? There you go. I like that. She waits until the Holy Spirit says. Yeah.
She doesn't, but she wants to.
Yeah. Okay. What else? Anything else you see in that list? Let's move to doves. Wise as a serpent, then he says harmless as doves. That word harmless means without a mixture of evil. Pure, untainted, simple, uncompounded, pure, free of guile. So there's a balance there. Cunning, quick to stay away from evil or damage. That's the serpent. Simple, like the dove, naive, pure, innocent. Yes?
Have you ever watched a dove?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, another bird can come close to them and they just go about their business, eating or whatever they're doing.
When they fly, they go fast. I know that from hunting doves. Yeah, number one, it's the first bird along with a raven that's mentioned in the Bible. And the sacrifice which the poor man could bring to the altar, Christ in the Old Testament, the dove, as a sacrifice for sin. Symbol of purity. Some believe the dove is the symbol of the church, undefiled before God. I like what David said, Psalm 55, verse 6, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away, be at rest." Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Without a mixture of evil in my life. Pure, uncontaminated, naive to sin. It's like we're looking at Sunday mornings. Solomon says, I want an understanding heart that I might discern between good and evil. And God judged Israel because they were wise to do evil, but simple to do good. Where God wants us wise to do good and simple concerning evil. He wants us. He doesn't want us to know the details of sin. Uncontaminated, pure, deceit. No deceit. Separated from the world. A dove.